The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Welcome to another episode of the Functional Sportsaholic, or as we like to call it, the Sports Talk Revolution. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube. Make sure you check that out because it's not only this show, it's not up, caught up. So if you're listening to this, thank you for listening and showing up and downloading us every week and giving us a listen. But if you could give us a follow on YouTube, there's a lot of cool stuff. It's a lot of football analysis for now, but we're bringing in the other podcasts from the other Underdog Podcast Network too. So there's a lot of cool content out there that you're not only going to get on this show. So, you know, put us in your rotation there as well. We'd appreciate it. By the way, that address is youtube.com/theunderdog, as in Underdog Podcast. Once again, it's youtube.com/theunderdog. Sam, this week, before we get into this, I've been scouring Bovada Sportsbook. I have all the lines. So we're going to be talking about power rankings. We're going to talk a little bit about Jalen Ramsey, a little about the NBA in China. But as that stands, you are listening, as usual, to Sean Ryan and Sam Van Dam. Sam, how you doing, my friend?
Good, bro. Just trying to get through these last couple hours before we embark.
What time do you? So Sam and I have a guys' trip. We're going with Gooch Givens and Steve the Basket Weaver. We are going to Asheville, North Carolina. If you're picking this up on a Friday, we're in Asheville, baby, or on the weekend for that matter. So when do you fly out, Sam?
Fly out tomorrow evening.
Yeah, so same I think here.
We leave at 5 or no, we leave at 6. We get in at 7:30. So,
well, if you're listening to us and you're in Asheville, be on the lookout. You see me on YouTube. You know what I look like. You don't know what Sam looks like, but you know what I look like.
It'll be a pleasant surprise.
It will be a yeah. No, you know that was so when I was in Florida and we went to Pretzels. There was a person behind us listening to me talk, and I guess I just talk and I ramble because ever since I started doing this podcast, two things have happened. One, I can fill some space with my voice. Like I can just talk to no end. And the second thing is my voice got super deep and like powerful because I guess I just use my voice like all day, every day now. And this guy behind us in the booth was like laughing. I was just telling like just, you know, regular stories about around the house and all this stuff. And the dude like comes up to us and he's like, he asked me if I did some other podcast and I didn't. And I was hopeful, Sam, that they were going to know about our show and we were going to be the first time we were going to we were this close. I thought I was like, ooh, they're going to
so close. He was at a sports bar and like
we were talking sports and
yeah.
I'm like, oh, they're gonna. This is gonna be the time I get recognized, you know, because we have a respect. What are we? We're about, I think, 30,000 a week. We can get up to about 40, give or take, you know, depending on what the subject and topic is and all that stuff. But I mean, that's a really nice, healthy audience for podcasts. But when you think about, you know, in the United States, there's 300 million people, give or take, right? So you know, the odds are nobody knows who the hell we are. But I got to start wearing the swag out. I got to start wearing Functional Sportsaholic. I'm wearing the hat right now. I got to bring that on the guys' trip, and maybe I'll be wearing that, and I'll have a mustache too, Sam. I don't know if you can pick up the video. I haven't even had time to shave yet this week.
I see the sides are a little bit shorter.
Yeah, you know what? I went with the Russian beard look, and I actually like it.
A nice fade. You got the beard fade going.
It's a good beard fade, and you know, it can grow long. It scales up, so I can grow it longer. And my wife actually, because she has not been a fan of the beard at all. And I was like, I'm growing it for the guys' trip, you know, so I can have a nice mustache for that trip. And she's like, yeah, all right, you know, I can deal with it. Well, I trimmed it and I gave it the fade over this weekend because we were in Milwaukee visiting some of her friends. And she's like, you know, it's growing on me because I had trimmed it because beforehand it was just like out, you know?
Yeah.
I gave it that fade and I like it, man. It's like that, it's like the Bolshevik beard.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. I might grow this back for winter, but this weekend is mustache weekend. I'm going to have to get – I've been talking about mustache week all week. I've had a beard the entire week recording, but maybe I'll tweet something out just so I can, you know, prove that I'm not lying about it. All right, Sam, well, why don't we – I'm just going to dig into the power rankings right now. So I recorded that earlier in the week, and I'll play that tape now. All right, and we're talking about Week 7 power rankings. I'm a little bit later in the week, so sorry for getting to these a little bit later in the week. I'm going to go from 10 to 1, and then I'll give you my consolation list because I like a lot of teams. I think some 4 and 2 teams didn't quite get in this week. So let's just start at number 10. According to Bovada, they are at plus 2,200 to win the Super Bowl. The Minnesota Vikings have creeped back on the list. Kirk Cousins throwing dimes to Stephon Diggs. I said, I think this is about the 10th time this week I said this, but last week I mentioned the Minnesota Vikings versus Philadelphia Eagles. I thought the whole game would come down to whether or not Kirk Cousins was going to be able to hit Stephon Diggs deep. He did three times. I thought he might have been able to get by one time. He got three. That was the difference in the game. Congratulations to Minnesota. Back on the list at plus 2,200. The Bills, according to Bovada, at plus 3,500 are number nine on my list. Look, you know, Buffalo, I love the team. They came off of a bye week this week. They're going to be playing Miami, so that should, in theory, be another win, which would bring them to 5-1, their only loss being to the Patriots in a very tough game. I like the Bills. I like what Josh Allen is doing. I love the defense here. I think this Bills team is similar to the Bears team. The reason I like the Bills a little bit more than Buffalo is because I like the quarterback and the offense a little bit more than I like Chicago's offense at this point. But both are very strong with their defense. I like the Bills' ability to get the run going whenever they want to. And Josh Allen is good enough hitting guys over the top to make teams pay if they crash up against the run. So that's an important thing. So Bills, I wanted to move them up higher in my list, but I just like so many freaking teams. It's tough. Number eight on my list, here's an upset, and I'm going to upset a region here at plus 1,100. So you can see that Vegas likes my number eight team as well. Plus 1,100, according to Bovada, the Green Bay Packers. Now, here's why I moved them down. First of all, I like other teams a little bit better. And I'm looking at this as, you know, who is probably the more mature team? Which team has the identity? And Green Bay is playing nice defense. They're running the ball well. They're passing the ball well. But they haven't strung it together yet for an entire game. I want to see that. I want to see this team win a game like, you know, like 40-6 or something like that. That's what I want to see. I mean, Green Bay, they kind of got lucky this last week against Detroit with the officiating. You know, they played in a lot of close games and they've come out on the other side as the victor in those close games, and that's great. So no shade at Green Bay, but that's why I have them a little bit down, is because they're playing a lot of close games, but they're beating a lot of good teams. I like this team. Certainly they can move up a little bit further in the list. Like they were last week, they actually dropped even though they won, which is kind of weird. Number seven on my list, according to Bovada, at plus 2,200 is the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore and Green Bay to me are very similar in that I feel like both teams have more potential to grow. And honestly, you could probably flip these guys, you know, Packers at seven, Ravens at eight. You know, either way, I think there's a lot of season to shake out. But I like Baltimore's ability to run the ball and control the clock. Now, Green Bay does that too, and Green Bay has a better quarterback, but Baltimore seems to, their offense just seems a little bit more mature to me right now, which is weird considering Aaron Rodgers is in, you know, Green Bay. I still like Aaron Rodgers quite a bit, but Baltimore, I just like what this team's doing. There's something about them. I think they have a little bit of a higher ceiling than Green Bay, which again is kind of goofy to say. I'm admitting it. It's a little goofy, but like I said, you could probably switch either one of those two teams around. I love both of these teams though, and I really love all the teams in my top 10. Number six on my list, they fell, the Kansas City Chiefs, according to Bovada, at plus 850. So they are still odds on the third highest team to win the Super Bowl. The Packers, by the way, are fifth. They have the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl, according to Bovada. Now, why do I put the Chiefs down to number six? Well, they lost two games in a row. But like I said last week, I'm not panicking, okay? Yeah, they lost to Houston. They lost to Indianapolis, two AFC South teams. Did I think that they would lose the Indianapolis game? No. Did I think they would lose the Houston game? Honestly, I did, and I actually called that one. I thought Houston would win a very close game. I thought Houston was going to give them some matchup issues. Kansas City still has some injuries that they're dealing with. Thankfully, Tyreek Hill is back for them, though. Eric Fisher's out for a while. Their defense needs to gel a little bit more, too. They're giving up way too many yards, and the offense, you know, this is kind of like the reverse Chicago. The argument I make against Chicago, who, by the way, according to Bovada, is plus 2,500, and Chicago did not make my list. Sorry, Chicago fans. They're kind of like the anti-Chicago. When the offense is on, then they will, you know, outscore teams. When in Chicago, when the defense is on, they will basically, you know, slow the team's offense down and win a nice kind of low scoring game. I tend to favor offenses more because when the offense is on, it's harder for teams without points to score points. I always think, like, I always take the unstoppable object versus the immovable object, if that makes sense. So I like the Chiefs, but their offense is not been playing as well the last couple of weeks. Credit the teams that they've played. I think they will get back on track. I still love this team. I'm not too concerned about them. Number five on my list, according to Bovada at plus 1700, is the Seattle Seahawks. Now, Seattle, they're winning games. Russell Wilson's having an MVP-like half season here. Let's see if he can keep it going. I've mentioned before, but I love the receivers more than I've ever liked a Seattle Seahawk receiving core, maybe even dating back since the Matt Hasselbeck days in Seattle. The running game gets going. I think the defense gets better and better every week. I like what they're doing. I think if the Seahawks and Chiefs played today, I really do think that the Seahawks would win. So there we go. That's why they're number five. Number four on my list is the Texans. Look, I couldn't make a rankings here without putting the Texans ahead of the Chiefs. According to Bovada, the Texans are at plus 2,200 to win the Super Bowl. I like Houston. I like Deshaun Watson. The big question mark is always is going to be whether or not they can protect the quarterback. They have the last couple of weeks, and Deshaun Watson's been just going off. He's fantastic. I love this offense. Will Fuller was this close from getting two touchdown grabs against the Kansas City Chiefs, which would have made five in 2 weeks for Will Fuller. He is just an explosive threat. I like what Carlos Hyde is doing. I like what Duke Johnson is doing. I like what the defense is doing. So if the offensive line can continue to gel and get a little bit better, I like Houston. They're going to be tough to beat come playoff time. Number three on my list is the undefeated San Francisco 49ers at, according to Bovada, plus 1,000. They are the odds on the fourth most likely team to win the Super Bowl at this point. The Chiefs have a little bit higher, but they are higher than the Packers. I like San Francisco. I've been talking about them for a while. Their defensive line is awesome. Their secondary is awesome. The pass rush gets errant passes. The secondary gets and intercepts those passes. They're forcing turnovers, and they're imposing their will on the offensive side of the ball. Jimmy Garoppolo has not had to really win yet. San Francisco is a little bit like Green Bay to me. I think they're similar teams, but I think San Francisco is better defensively at this point. I think they're better in the running game at this point. Obviously, Green Bay is going to be better in the passing game than Jimmy Garoppolo, but man, I love a team that can control both lines of scrimmages, and San Francisco's been dominating both lines of scrimmages, so kudos to them. Number two on my list is the New Orleans Saints at plus 700, according to Bovada. Honestly, as I'm looking at this now, I could waver. I could move San Francisco up to number two, New Orleans up to number two. The reason I gave New Orleans the bid here is New Orleans, the one-loss New Orleans team, they've been doing it without Drew Brees. So this team, I mean, as soon as Drew Brees went out with injury, this defense kind of like rose to the challenge, and they've been playing awesome. You know, Lattimore has been locking down number one receivers. This team has always plays the run game well. I would love to see the Saints and 49ers play to see that run defense against, you know, San Francisco's run offense and see what kind of what would happen, what would shake out. But my thinking is if these two teams met in January and Drew Brees is back, I think Drew Brees is an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo at this point, and I like Mike Thomas over any of the San Francisco receivers. I think New Orleans, even though I like San Francisco's defense a little bit more, I think New Orleans has some good stuff going on. When Drew Brees comes back, again, I tend to favor offenses more than defenses, so I will take Teddy Bridgewater-led, but soon to be Drew Brees-led New Orleans Saints. And by the way, this whole Teddy Bridgewater winning all the games that he's played so far, if you're New Orleans, you can really take your time bringing Drew Brees back. Remember, everybody was like, well, if he misses six games, maybe they can go 500 and go 3-3. Well, you know, suddenly, you know, Drew Brees has already been ruled out this week. When he comes back, he's going to be full strength and ready to go. Bridgewater, what a great job. Spoiler alert for everybody out there, Teddy Bridgewater will be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans next season. You heard it here first. Number one on my list, according to Bovada at plus 250, the New England Patriots. I mean, their defense is so good. Their offense is so good. Their coaching is so good. Their quarterback has won, what, 7 Super Bowls, 10 Super Bowls? I don't even know. I think it's 7. I think it's 7, and it might not be. It might be more than that. I can't even remember anymore. They're winning so much, I can't even keep track. They're that historically good. Drives me a little crazy. I know it drives non-Patriots fans crazy, but you can't even make an argument that somebody else should be number one at this point. Even San Francisco, who's undefeated, you know, they traded Garoppolo away. to keep Tom Brady. I mean, even the Patriots knew, and they were inside the building. So my consolation list, guys, are teams that I like that I wanted to put on the list, but I couldn't really fit them on. The Colts at plus 400, according to Bovada. Hey, the Colts and the Houston Texans play. The winner of that list will be on the list. There you go. Number two, my second team is the Philadelphia Eagles at plus 1600, according to Bovada. I like them, but 3-3, you can't make the list with so many other good teams. Same with the Cowboys, who are at plus 2200, can't make the list. The Raiders, you know, they were on the bye week, so they're a little out of sight, out of mind. They play Green Bay this week. I actually call the Raiders in an upset this week. I think that Gruden's going to stick with the run there. It's going to be very interesting. The Raiders always seem to start the games hot. I'm really curious to see what this team does, what this Raiders team does against the Packers in Green Bay. I'm going to be looking forward to watching that game. Don't be surprised if Green Bay loses that game. If Oakland wins that game, obviously they're on the list. If Green Bay loses that game, frankly, they might be off the list, but that's not to say I don't love them. The other team, I already mentioned the Bears. The other team on my list, the last one, is the Panthers at plus 2,500. Kyle Allen, I think he's going to be the starter for the Carolina Panthers. And hey, you know, maybe Cam Newton's going to be the starter for Tennessee Titans next year. You never know. But Kyle Allen, you know, he's playing more of a dink and dunk game, which is fine. They're winning games. They're good. The defense is creating turnovers, getting to the quarterback, everything you want to see. I want to see Kyle Allen push the ball downfield more. It's kind of the same thing with Mitch Trubisky. I want to see the offense click a little bit more. But, you know, Christian McCaffrey, you can't argue against him, although I just did. So there you go. There's my consolation list. There are a lot of teams that I still like, but the NFL continues to shape up, so this list will continue to coalesce as well. So there you go. That brings me through another one. If you're watching on YouTube, please like, subscribe, watch some more videos, comment. I will comment back. If you're listening on iTunes, then you're going to get the rest of the show right now. All right, and we're back, Sam. Power rankings as usual. Can you can't not rank the Patriots number one. I'm looking for an excuse, but. San Francisco. Yeah, San Francisco's not showing enough yet. You know, New Orleans isn't showing it. Yeah, just you got to rank the Patriots number one, but so it goes. All right, so Sam, I want to talk a little bit about Jalen Ramsey, but let's take a break from football. Let's talk about the NBA in China. Why don't you just give me your thoughts? Because I've been so heads down that I didn't know what was going on. I finally caught myself up into all the controversy. I thought it was, I'm not a big Barstool listener myself personally. It's not my style, but I saw that they came out with a Chairman James shirt after LeBron James was critical of Daryl Morey, which I thought was freaking hilarious. So kudos to Barstool there. But Sam, why don't you just kind of go in, kind of tell me what happened as if I don't know what's happening. That way, if anybody isn't educated on it, we all educate. And then let's just go from there and see what goes.
Well, I'll give you the as much as I know on it. Obviously, you know, China's a much different place than what we have here. You know, as far as democracy and
freedom
of
speech.
Yes, freedom of speech and all that stuff. It's just a different world, you know. So to try to compare things between, you know, here and there is almost like, you know, different worlds. From everything, education, you know, even the hours of the day as far as what they work, and it's just everything is different. It's just a different world. That being said, there has been some, you know, social injustice. There's some stuff that's going on there that, you know, some people are, you know, can deem that is not good for human rights. I'm not well versed on everything that's going on there, but I know Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets, had sent out a tweet basically saying, like, I don't even know exactly what he said, but he said, I'm with the people of China.
We stand with Hong Kong, maybe something like that.
We stand with Hong Kong, yeah. And basically that sent a tidal wave of, you know, negative press towards the NBA, because over there they don't have maybe the freedom of speech that we do. They can't really separate that a guy that is part of an NBA team can have an opinion that maybe the NBA is not sharing its opinion. It's kind of just there on a business trip, right, basically. And they can't really, because it's not, you know, natural for them to have the freedom of speech of somebody to be like, hey, listen, this is how I feel about this. It's not necessarily how the NBA feels about it or whatever. Adam Silver basically came out and said the same thing. You know, Daryl Morey does not speak for the NBA, but we do like our people to have a platform and whatever they say, You know, that's their personal thing. Well, even more backlash came because, you know, the partners in China and the, you know, the business at hand doesn't want to hear that. And games were, you know, stuff was scrapped off walls. I'm surprised games were even played because it was looking there for a little bit that games right up until moments before were looking like they were going to get canned. And basically the NBA, I think, kind of had a big meeting with the two teams that were there at the time and basically said, guys, we'd much rather you guys just not say anything. This is a business trip. We're not here on a diplomatic, you know, trip here. So we'd much rather you not say anything. So nobody spoke over there. The teams didn't speak. Nothing happened. And then we get back stateside, and LeBron decides to take a stand.
Do what LeBron does. I stand with LeBron. China.
Right.
Chairman James.
I stand with China, and
he Maury's the one not educated there.
Right, and Maury's not educated, and LeBron kind of stuck his foot in his mouth when he should have just said, "Listen, I don't know enough about what's going on there to comment." That's all he has to say, you know. Because now the guy that is, I'm more than an athlete. I stand for social injustice in this country. But
right.
when it becomes a paycheck thing, which he flat out said, you know, it's, you know, you're dealing with people's money here, about Maury, then we're going to play the, you know.
Yeah. The business side of it, right?
The business side of it. And, you know, love him or hate him, Michael Jordan always said, you know, Republican buy shoes too. That's why he never said anything. You know, and people gave Mike a lot of crap for that, but this is a prime example of
you like Michael. I love that quote. Republicans,
yeah, it's a great quote too. Because you know what? Like a lot of people, he did a lot of stuff, you know, behind the scenes. But Michael Jordan never tied his name to anything because he never wanted his foot in his mouth. He never wanted to be put against another person, and you know. He's absolutely right. Business was business there, and he said Republicans buy shoes, even though he wasn't standing for it. And LeBron here is Mr. Social Injustice, and I, you know, I'm going to fight for all this stuff. But the minute it comes to it, you know, usually he's on the right side of these things, albeit he's corny as hell sometimes. This was one of those times where, you know, unless you're really ready to stand and take the bullet, man, you got to watch yourself, because now they're burning his jersey, you know, in China, and Nike has a big foothold over there, and I'm sure they're not happy about this. And it's a very difficult situation what's going on over there, and then how it relates to business, not only in the NBA but across all sorts of things. You know, everything we buy is usually made in China. You know, our cell phones that we do everything are made in China. You know, everything we work on, you know, computer wise and stuff, most of it's made in China. So it's going to take some corporation to really stand up for maybe stuff that's going on there. But I don't think it's LeBron James, and I don't think it's the NBA. So, especially when he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. So let me kind of, I guess, back up, I guess, to the issue, because there's a couple things to talk about. So for people, and we get all kinds of different demographics. Usually the demographic that listens to us, Sam, is probably between about 25 to 45, like right in the demographic that we sit in. But you know, we get all types of people, whether it's, you know, business people, whether it's people that, you know, have never had a job, younger people, whatever the case is, right? Everybody's welcome, by the way.
Right.
And thank you all for listening. Cha-ching. I'll take a Chinese audience too. If we can get 1% of that Chinese audience, Sam. No, but they're not listening to the podcast, and they're certainly not on YouTube. Okay, but let's just try to put this in context, because I like to put it in context when there's like these polarizing issues. So Hong Kong, right? They were owned, or they were like basically I don't know if it was a Commonwealth or a territory, what you call them, but basically they were under the United Kingdom's control. They were a United Kingdom city for years and years and years. And there was a treaty, I think that was like 200 years old, that said Hong Kong will go back to China at whatever time. I think that was like in the late 90s or early 2000s or something.
Yeah.
And so just try to put yourself into the position generation of these people who are from Hong Kong. Their entire life and for like five generations before them, there's the United Kingdom privilege. I mean, when I say privilege, I mean like freedom of speech. You being able to come on a podcast and say, I don't like the direction our country's going. Like everybody else does. Fox News, CNN, whether you're listening to the right or the left or whatever, basically, neither one of them could exist. It would be a state-run operation, service. It's just imagine every little freedom that you have. Your freedom, in China, one of the things that you can't do is invest in the stock market. So a lot of these, Chinese citizens, you see these real estate buildings going up because it's the only thing that they can invest that can accrue interest. And I don't know if that's still the case, but it was for a while. Just imagine not being able to invest your money in the stock market, that being right. Against the law. And so these people that have, lived their entire lives of freedom, the handover was going to happen, they got royally screwed. So now all of these protests are going on. Daryl Morey comes out and he says, I stand with China, something about, pro-freedom and all that stuff, which I think every American, whether you realize it or not, you're in favor of it because, I mean, literally people can be arrested for just being like, oh gosh, I hate Republicans or, oh, I hate Democrats. You can be arrested for that in other countries, right? And so we talk about that on the show this time, like all this like political stuff is like, you should, arrest all these people. The world would be better. The country would be better without them. Get off your high horse and stop being an idiot. That's what we always say on the show. Stop being an idiot. The right. fact that we can criticize these things, we said it, we brought up with the Colin Kaepernick thing. I know you're the super conservatives out there, they're never going to agree with the idea of not standing during the national anthem or, whatever the case is. But the fact that you have the law allowing you to do that is what makes the country great. So would I do it? I probably wouldn't have, but I support freedom of speech. Now, Morey comes out and he says that, and of course the Houston Rockets immediately distance themselves and say, hey, he doesn't speak for us, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the NBA is like, he doesn't speak for us. It brings up an interesting thing. You mentioned, Sam, how much of our stuff is manufactured. I'm probably wearing a shirt right now that was manufactured, if not in China, in Indonesia, one of the two. And most of everything that we buy is manufactured in China, and that's the result of it. But we get into this weird cycle in business where we're not moral. Like when it comes to business or when it comes to convenience, especially American business and American convenience, we conveniently forget about morals when it comes into it. Like, a lot of these, I'll pick on the Republicans for a little bit, but you can insert Democrats here because I don't care. I'm truly down the middle, nonpartisan. I don't care about either one of them. I don't particularly like either one of them. Okay, so let's just say you're a Republican business person or a liberal business person, and you want to make $1 million because that's what's best for you personally. And China comes in and say, hey, I have a state-run thing, it's a socialist government, but come over here, visit our factory, we'll make you $2 million, we'll get you into the Chinese market. Everybody's going to take that bet, probably myself included, and we're not going to think too much about that, but really what we're doing is we're kind of helping fund a socialist and oppressive regime. And so, I don't know. I mean, obviously the NBA is selling their soul a little bit, but we all kind of sell our soul a little bit, don't we, Sam? Because everything we get is from China, right?
Right.
So
yeah, there's no way around it, and it's such a big issue there. That it's really tough to navigate, and like unless you're really really dialed in there, I feel like it's hard for anyone to really have a super opinion one way or another,
right?
Yeah, we don't live there, and we don't know. Right, It's just totally different. It's a totally different world, man.
It's a totally different world, and that's why I always get a little annoyed when, like, the back and forth between Morey and LeBron. And you could say this and make this about anything and any subject. It's when two people on social media are going back and forth with each other on something that they have no clue about ultimately.
Right.
And if I'm going to pick a side here, I'm going to pick the side of Daryl Morey. Now, I got to say, as an NBA, let's say executive, if I was the Rockets or anything like that, I'd be really ticked off. If I was all the other 30 whatever NBA owners, I'd be ticked off too, because it's going to hurt in the wallet. I mean, this is
right.
Like, even if this is just a blip on the radar, that's a big ass blip I mean, that is a big blip in China, even if it's just like a one season thing and they're going to work to smooth it over. But, you know, is he wrong? Is Daryl Morey wrong for coming out and saying, hey, you know, I support freedom of speech? You know, I mean, this is really what we're talking about, is he tweeted something that was in support of you know, people protesting because they want freedom of speech and a lack of oppression. That's what this whole issue is about. And it's just, it's crazy. But this is the world we live in. And a lot of people, I've been fortunate, Sam, to travel overseas quite a bit for work and all that and see a bunch of different countries and work with a bunch of different cultures. And the fact is, like, Americans, a lot of Americans live in a bubble because we don't really know what's going on and we don't have the frame of reference out there. And I encourage everybody, if you can do it sometime, just go out and meet and talk to somebody. Even if you can't travel, go find somebody that traveled in, because we're such a melting pot. Talk to other people. I was talking to a cabbie from Cameroon in Milwaukee the other day. It was like one of the best conversations I've had in the last couple months. It was really cool. Yeah. So just meet
people.
Well,
and I also think, had it not been the Houston Rockets, this might not have been a bigger story, because that's a big – yeah, I mean, that's a big
– It is, yeah.
That's a huge – that's the team of China.
Yeah.
Because of Yao Ming. A lot of the players that have played for the Rockets have gotten really good shoe deals over there. You know, even my friend Chandler was with a company called Anta, and Anta is a Chinese shoe company. He was with them for 3 years, and they paid him a gob of money.
Yeah.
You know, because the Rockets are in everyone's TV there. They all buy – there's, you know, a whole Chinese broadcast team just for the Rockets. You know, and that has not – I mean, Yao Ming hasn't played for, what, 10 years?
Yeah, I know.
And they still have a – because that's the team that drafted Yao Ming, and they got to know the franchise and all that, and it's become the team of China, and now they're covering up billboards with anything that has Houston Rockets related. Yao Ming is pissed, and, you know, it's just – I don't think Daryl Morey obviously didn't mean anything wrong by it. I think, you know, I don't know why a GM has a Twitter. I don't understand some of these things that come out where I'm just like, do you really need to talk that much? Like, why do you have this? Like, Brian Colangelo lost his job because of Twitter. You know, like, if I was a GM, I would burn all social media off, family's phones, off my phone, everything. I'd be like, listen, like, you guys like living in this big house? Get it off your phone.
Yep.
I don't want anything out there. You know, it's social media is a weird, weird place. And obviously we benefit from it. And there's some good things on there. But some of these guys, I'm like, what was really the point? And I get his point, and I agree with it, you know, and I understand what he's saying, but like, like, why? Because now you also have the media too that wants to jump on anything and make it a huge story. Like, you can't put anything. You say I like Jif peanut butter over Skippy, and you're gonna get trolled.
You're gonna get death threats.
Yeah, you're gonna create a war, and then like maybe Jiffy down the line. It's a GM, but maybe Jiffy was like, hey, we were going to partner with the Rockets, so screw them, you know?
Right.
I mean, or Skippy or whatever. And Jip's like, you know, it's just a weird place to be, man. Like,
weird.
I don't know.
We all weird live in place. A weird bubble.
Bubble. You know, also, you know, follow us on Twitter.
I'm at TFS underscore Sean. That's S-E-A-N. Sam's at TFS underscore Sam Van Dam. Follow us on Twitter. Social media, we love it. Well, YouTube, social media, right? We love YouTube.
No, and I mean, there's really good positives to it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of people making a lot of money off social media. Just in some things, it's kind of like, I mean, it's the same way. If I had something tied to my work or something, I wouldn't put anything personal on there. I wouldn't put any of my personal feelings or opinions on there. It would just be, I just don't, some of that stuff, I don't get it.
Yeah. The only social media I do is for this show and to support this show. That's it. I don't even do anything else. So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We ran a little bit long for the Jalen Ramsey talk. So let's just push that to next week. You got anything else for the audience here before we sign off, Sam?
Not much, man. Everyone be safe. Be good. If you see us out in the streets of Asheville, come and buy us a beer.
Yeah.
Buy me
a whiskey. Yeah. Buy me a whiskey. I don't drink beer, but
yeah. Yeah, well, buy Sean a whiskey and buy me a beer.
Whiskey and beers. Whiskeys and beers.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening. Do catch us on another episode. If you're listening to our podcast on Apple, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/theunderdog. It's not just me. It is other stuff, but it is mostly me. And then also, if you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to our Apple podcast. You can find all the links everywhere in the show notes. So check out the notes. Follow, subscribe, like, comment, watch more videos. That's how we grow. And we will catch you next week. And Sam and I will probably have some stories about the guys' trip. So I'm sure that'll be interesting as well. So everybody out there, have a great week. Be good.
Be good.